Lecture 9, Smuggled Theology, The Chronicles of Narnia, 1.
Lewis is perhaps best known and loved for his 7 Chronicles of Narnia, fantasy tales for children of all ages that catapult their reader into a world of magic and wonder. The next 3 lectures will be devoted to a close analysis of each of the Chronicles that will attempt to gauge the power of their spiritual message and the centrality of that message to the Lewis canon. In this lecture, we shall consider the first 2 Chronicles, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and Prince Caspian. Now, although the Chronicles are generally referred to as Christian allegories, technically speaking, the Chronicles are not allegories, and they did not begin their life as Christian stories. And Lewis was quite adamant about this. I'll explain in a moment why they're not technically allegories. According to Lewis, the Chronicles did not begin with Lewis saying, hey, let's write Christian stories. They began as a series of scattered images that Lewis saw in his mind and sometimes in his dreams. And these images included a faun carrying an umbrella, a queen on a sledge, and a magnificent lion. Now, the images came first. Lewis decided he wanted to embody these images in some kind of work of fiction. His next question, though, was what form or genre will best embody those images? What are most suited to say what he wants to say? Well, he decided that that form must exclude romantic and psychological, the romantic and psychological interests of the modern novel. Lewis felt the images weren't going to fit in a sort of D.H. Lawrence kind of novel. But he did decide that whatever form he chose would have to have brevity, simplicity, and clarity. He felt the images demanded those things. Well, the genre that best fit, he decided, was the fairy tale. And as we saw in Lecture 6, the fairy tale was a genre that Lewis loved both as a child and as an adult. And it was one he felt merited serious critical attention that it was not getting in Lewis's day and age. All right. Now Lewis the writer has chosen the form, and he has begun to assemble the images into a tale. Then, and only then, Lewis the man, Lewis the Christian, steps in, and he decides, hey, I could use these images to express key elements of the Christian faith in a way that children could best understand. Perhaps, Lewis mused, by stripping these doctrines of their stained glass and Sunday school associations, he could make them appear in their real potency. Those are Lewis's actual words. In the guise of fairy stories, in other words, Lewis would, again his own word, smuggle in Christian theology. Nevertheless, and this is the important part, although he wants to get across a Christian message, his characters are not mere allegories or pictures. This is not Pilgrim's Progress, where the giant Despair represents despair, but is not really a character in himself. That's not true in Narnia. In the Chronicles of Narnia, all the characters possess their own separate life and reality. Again, through them, Lewis smuggles in theology, explains it, but that is not the first level. That's a deeper level. And again, you can read it without even realizing, as I did when I was a child, that they are Christian allegories. The first of the Chronicles is The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. This is my famous favorite, and this is most people's favorite. And this chronicle not only introduces us to the world of Narnia, but it offers, I believe, the clearest parallels to Christian theology. And what I'm going to be doing in most of my lectures now is to give you a brief synopsis of the plot and then dig in to show you the sort of theological undertone and why it's significant to Lewis. Let us begin. In The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, 4 children, Peter, Susan, Edmund, and Lucy, that's in order of descending age, enter through the back of an old wardrobe into the land of Narnia. It's through the wardrobe, and just by magic, they end up in Narnia. And Narnia is a magical land replete with talking animals, mythic fauns, living trees, an evil white witch, and a magnificent lion king.